What does divine love look like? You might think the best comparison we have is a parent and a child. We address God as our Father, after all. Or you might look elsewhere in Scripture and say, well, the bride and the bridegroom seem to be the dominating images. These are the images to which the great mystics, like St. Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, have turned. But when our brother St. Thomas Aquinas asks this question, what love is charity? He says it's a friendship. And the reason why, well, we might get a clue from this friendship of David and Jonathan we just heard about. After the fashion of St. Thomas, I would say there are three points about this friendship which make it like divine charity, God's love for us. The first is its spontaneity. The second is its liberating quality. And the third is its unpredictability. It's spontaneous if we compare it with the kind of love that Jonathan has for his father, who is also his king. Jonathan is a great lover. When he's shown leading his men out into battle, he has great concern for them. In his dealings with King Saul, he is impeccable. But these loves are loves also of duty. There is something seriously wrong, seriously disordered, if someone cannot love their parents, if we don't feel an allegiance to the political system, the social order which sustains us. His love for David is free. It's simply his own. It's this person and nothing that constrains him to it. Something that raises eyebrows is the fact that it said David's love and Jonathan's love for one another was greater than the love of a man for a woman. But precisely the point of that is, this isn't just physical attraction. This isn't just biological necessity translated into social convention. It's something totally personal. It's a liberating love because, well, Jonathan has as much to lose from David as his father, King Saul. If David is victorious in battle, if David wins the favor of the people, Jonathan could be just as envious. He is a good commander, but he's not as great as David. He is in line to inherit Saul's throne, but if David takes it, he won't. And yet, these interests are overcome by the friendship they share. And they're overcome in such a way that it secures life for Jonathan's lineage, even after he dies. Because of their friendship, David honors Jonathan's children. He honors the house of Saul, even though they could be such a threat to his own stability and power in the kingdom. And then the unpredictability. Really, this is saying in a different way what I've already said, but Jonathan doesn't have to love David. David doesn't have to take up Jonathan's friendship, but they do. They even have positive reasons not to embrace one another in friendship. And yet they do. They meet, in a certain sense, as strangers. And it's in just the same way that God comes to us. Nothing compels him, nothing constrains him. There's nothing about it that we could ever have foretold, and yet he does. And he does so beautifully. He comes so intimately to each one of us, as if he is totally for us, totally for me, totally for you, and yet nonetheless for anyone else. And we are called to become totally his, totally invested beyond our own particular interests, beyond our own particular location in time and space, beyond the necessities of body and society. We are called to become simply God's.